This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. The Mickey Miles Podcast is not affiliated with, authorized, or endorsed by, or in any way officially connected with Run Disney, the Walt Disney Company, Disney Enterprises, Inc., or any of their affiliates. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode number 3 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is my co-host, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Michelle, welcome, and how did you survive the weekend?
Oh, I had a wonderful time. I can't wait to talk about the Tower of Terror inaugural 10-miler. How are you today?
I am doing very, very well. And like you said, today's show is best described as part 2 of our 2-part series on the Walt Disney World Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10-mile weekend. The show will focus on the happenings that occurred on Saturday, which was the day of the race. And besides the race, it includes the party and a lot of other things. So Michelle and I thought that it would be really good to bring to this particular show more than just our own perspective on the race and on Saturday and Saturday night and Sunday morning. So we've invited 2 experienced runners to help us discuss what took place this past weekend. And Michelle, I'm going to ask you to do the honor of introducing our guests.
Oh, thank you very much. I'd be happy to. So we have 2 of our running buddies on the show today. And the first one I'd like to welcome to the show is our pal, Holly Allen. How you doing, Holly?
I'm doing great, Michelle. Thanks.
Good. And our other racing buddy is Charlie Gessner. How are you doing, Charlie?
Great, Michelle. Nice to be here.
Good. So we have some questions for you because you were at the race weekend with us. And before we start with questions, I just wanted to ask each of you to tell us a little bit about running and where you're from. So Holly, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. I'm up in Fox Lake, Illinois, which is a far northern suburb of Chicago. And I've been running since about 2005. That was when I did my first marathon, the Chicago Marathon. It was going to be one of those bucket list items, one and done. Well, 15 marathons later, I'm still out there running.
Wowee. I bow to you. And Holly and I actually raced together in this race. It was the first time we'd done that, and it was just wonderful. She is just such a pro, and it was just a wonderful experience. So welcome. Charlie, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm from Claremont, New Hampshire, which is in the western part of the state.
Yay, New Hampshire.
And, yeah. And I'm about 30 miles probably south of Dartmouth College. And I got into running really down at Disney. I saw somebody wearing a marathon t-shirt all the way back in 2005 and started doing it. Started doing the half down there and the full down there. I did the ESPN runs when they were down there, and now the Tower of Terror. And I do a lot of local runs too, you know, in my neck of the woods up here. So I really love it.
So you're a Run Disney vet. You've been doing it before it was even called Run Disney.
Yeah, I have.
Oh, that's great. Well, Mike, what do you say we ask these 2 some questions about the race? Because I'd love to hear their perspective on it. Maybe we can chime in too.
I think that's a good idea, and I'm going to let you ask the first question.
Okay. So I was wondering, Holly, since this was a nighttime race, was your preparation different for this race than that of a daytime race?
Definitely. This is actually my second night race at Disney. I did the Wine and Dine 2 years ago and thought I had learned some things about that, but still struggled a bit with nutrition and also resting a little bit more probably. You definitely want to make sure that you're not eating a heavy meal before. I had my last meal. I finished up probably right around 2 o'clock, but still felt and got to the race and actually felt kind of hungry, which I was a little worried about. I didn't feel that I was properly fed, I guess is a way to say it, but also a little tired, but I did stay off my feet from about 3 o'clock until about 7 o'clock. So a nice 4-hour stretch of just, you know, laying down and trying to simulate almost having a night's sleep before a normal race.
Oh, what a good idea. And I should probably mention too that this race started at 10 p.m.
Yes.
So it was pretty late. Thank you. Charlie, what about you? What did you do to prepare for this race versus a daytime race?
I drank heavily. And that's water, water and Powerade. But I had a very big breakfast that morning, And then I went to the Magic Kingdom with my wife, and we just kind of, we played around the Magic Kingdom, and I had a nice lunch at Columbia Harbor House, finished up with a Dole Whip at around 1 o'clock, and then probably like Holly, I took it easy the rest of the afternoon. I slept from about 2 to 5 o'clock, and then I had one small piece of pizza before I headed over to the, you know, the pre-race stuff that was going on over in, at the studios. So I really tried to stay off my feet. I tried to stay hydrated because, as you know, as all you guys know, it was very, very warm that day. So I just wanted to make sure I took it easy.
And it's very hard to stay off your feet when you're at the happiest place on earth, isn't it, at the parks? Mike, what about you? What did you do to prepare?
I think it was the hottest day on earth on Saturday. Let's see. So unlike... like a daytime race or a with a 6 a.m. start, this was my third nighttime race, and this was actually my third inaugural nighttime race down there too. I seem to be a glutton for punishment. So that particular day, I think I slept in a little bit because I had been at the a number of us were at the not so scary Halloween party the night before. Got up about mid-morning, went to an event that Holly and Michelle were also at the California Grill, and we had lunch there. And I think it was sometime, just like Charlie, I went back to the room around early afternoon, and I took a bit of a nap and got my water bottle ready and was ready to go. The most important thing is that I was hydrating all day, and I was staying out of the sun, and I was trying to stay off my feet. And it's very hard to do that for these nighttime races. So
I agree.
You know, we all try to do the best. What did you do, Michelle?
Well, pretty much the same thing. I think Holly and I got ready at lunchtime by eating lots of big cupcakes and creme brulee at this little event. But I think for me, I drink a lot of water usually. I think 3 days before a race, I drink a lot more water. And I think that was, really, really important for this hot race. You know, the temperature was so warm, but it's very interesting, the nutrition. I agree, Holly. I was starting to get hungry a little bit before the race too, and I noticed that you did the same thing that I did. But 15 minutes before the race, we had some goo to get ready. Mm-hmm. But it was just a lot of resting. And like you, I did the Wine and Dine a few years ago, which is also a nighttime race, and I knew it was important. As hard as it is to not walk around the parks, I forced myself to stay off my feet for a little bit. So, okay, moving on to the next question. Mike, you want to take over?
Yeah, I've got one for Charlie. Charlie, I think, did you say this was your first nighttime Disney race?
It was.
So as someone who's run many races during the day and seeing that this was your first nighttime race, I guess one of my questions would be, how did it hit you? Did everything happen the way you expected it? Did it exceed your expectations? Did it fall short? Did it just fall right on the money? What were your thoughts immediately after the race?
Well, immediately after the race, I was a little disappointed, to be honest, with the situation at the finish line. Because I thought it was just kind of a mess. It was almost like there was too much going on there, and it was so dark. I had problems really seeing. I didn't care for the Powerade. It was very, very warm. I think a lot of us were looking for a really cold drink to have.
The
only way that you were going to get one is if you got right back into the park and actually bought one, because the Powerade that they had at the end of the finish line was not fun. During the race itself, the only other part that I was a little disappointed in, to be honest, was just the course itself. I thought the course was very, very fair until you got to the Wide World of Sports. And then it just seemed to really, really narrow up, and it was very, very tough to pass people. So that was a little bit of a difficulty. And the gravel that was there were a lot of sharp turns. But other than that, I thought the course was pretty good, and the post race I thought was really, really excellent. I mean, being able to go on the rides, meet some characters with, you know, no lines essentially, was a lot of fun. So from that standpoint, I liked it a lot.
Well, that's good. I was hoping that you had some joy out of it, because a lot of us were really sweating afterwards. Holly, now I know that you did the inaugural Wine and Dine with us 2 years ago, and yes. And we all know what kind of a opinions we had on that. So how would you compare that to what you experienced this past weekend?
I think a lot of it was very similar as far as the end portion, as far as people being sick just from the heat. It seemed to look very similar to the end of the Wine and Dine, with everyone kind of laid out and people being sick. And I think that was attributed to the heat, not as much as the close-in corners that they had in the inaugural Wine and Dine. I think it was good that they had us moving, but I don't know how good it was to have us moving up and then down and around all the way out through that phantasmic entrance. It was a really long way. And like Charlie said, to get something cold to drink, that's all I wanted was something cold. And that Powerade was just horrible. That was not what we needed. I agree with Charlie on the course. I think it was a fair course, except again, once you got into that Wide World Sports, the gravel trail to get in there, we had to walk that portion because it was just, I felt it was really dangerous, and I certainly didn't want to roll an ankle and have it ruin the rest of the race, obviously, and then future races. So it wasn't very well lit there either, I thought, for being a really dark, gravelly area. I thought it was really unsafe. And then the sharp turns in the Wide World Sports, lots of turns to get into the stadium, 90-degree turns, very narrow. I was thinking into the future to the marathon course being that I think it's pretty much going to be similar. Had some concerns about that.
Right, right. Michelle, do you want to give us your thoughts on what you saw, what you expected, and what you realized for this race?
Well, my biggest complaint is nothing that Disney could have helped, which was the temperature. The temperature for me made this the most difficult race, even though I've done many, many half marathons. The word that I use to describe it is brutal. It was just a brutal, brutal race. And I know Holly and I were running with another running buddy, and we were encouraging each other because at a certain point after about 8 miles, we just thought, oh boy, this is just really hard. And it was difficult for us, and all three of us were training. We're all training for the marathon. So that was not something Disney could control. What I liked is lots of water stops, lots of Powerade stops, as usual. Disney knows how to do this. They do it well. Lots of fantastic volunteers. I just can't say enough for these wonderful people who get out there at, 10 o'clock, stay till 1 o'clock in the morning, cheering us on and smiles on their faces. I agree that the course that was most difficult for me was that gravel part. And as Holly said, we walked that part. The stones on the gravel were quite big, and we were all afraid that we were just going to hit one the wrong way, and then we'd be out of that race and maybe other races. But I really liked running through the Wide World of Sports. It reminded me of running Disneyland, running through the stadium, and they had this really interesting thing where there was a green screen, and it looked like we were running out of the Tower of Terror, so I enjoyed that. I also, the warm Powerade, I've heard several people mention that. That didn't bother me. I don't like Powerade anyway, but I did like the after party, and it's called Disney Villains Hollywood Bash. And what that was everybody who ran the race was admitted for free. Of course, we ran into the studios, but people who are meeting us could pay a fee to come in. And there were selected attractions that were open. There were actually 6: Star Tours, Muppet Vision, The Great Movie Ride, Toy Story Mania, Rock and Roller Coaster, and Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. And then in addition, there were lots of, I think there were about 8 different places that were open all around the park to eat, Backlot Express and Rosie's All-American Cafe. So there were places that you could meet people, and it seemed, compared to the Wine and Dine a few years ago, it seemed less crazy and more. There were more opportunities to get some goodies. And a whole bunch of us, I think there were about 16 of us, actually rode the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror with our medals. We had to hold on to them, but I thought that was a nice after party to go along with the race. But overall, I liked the course. I liked the way Disney ran the race in general. I think, the biggest thing for me was the heat. And I think everybody on this call would agree that the heat was just tricky, made it tricky. What do you think, Mike?
I'm going to throw in my 2 or 3 cents. And a long time ago, my father told me that the reason why Howard Johnson had 28 flavors of ice cream was because everybody sees things differently. And I see things a little bit differently than you, Michelle. One of the things is that I did not expect much from this race because I know how difficult it is for any race director or any sponsored, any type of inaugural race to come off, you know, perfectly. And Disney has had difficulty with the 13K that they had years ago, which I ran, the initial Wine and Dine, which I ran, and this one. A couple of things that I expected to happen did happen. The heat is something that you can't control. I agree with you on that. The problem with the gravel has been expressed by 100% of those who I asked about it. Not one person did not have a complaint on it. One of the things that I had a little knee issue, and running on gravel was not something that I was looking forward to. Not just running on gravel, but running on unlit gravel. There were some areas where you could not see. And everybody who was going through with me pretty much walked through there. I mean, from the youngest to the oldest, it was just very, very difficult. And I saw one barefoot runner, and I'm still wondering how he did that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I thought the water stops were done well. I thought that the lighting on the course, with the exception of the gravel, was pretty much okay. The Powerade stuff was really something that I said, I wonder how many people are going to comment on that. I needed some ice on my knee, so I had no complaints about the medical tent. The medical people were great. They took care of my knee. They wrapped it in ice really, really well. As I was walking, and I was listening to Charlie talk about this, as I'm walking, I'm saying to almost every single volunteer or race official, I said, you're making us run 10 miles, and then where are we going to meet our friends, and where is the bag check? I don't think any of you mentioned, but the bag check, for those of you who weren't there and didn't use bags to check them, the bag check was, I believe it was at the Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular.
Yeah.
So imagine running 10 miles and then having walk from right near the Tower of Terror all the way to Indiana Jones to get your bags. And I heard that several people, you know, fell over there because it was just, I mean, you're very tired after 10 miles running in the heat and humidity, and that can be an issue. So though that was a little bit of a disappointment. But overall, I think that it was one of those races where Disney tried to do their best. They're always trying to do their best, and they need to see what worked, see what didn't work, and go from there. Before I turn it over to Michelle, I know she wants to add one more thing. Unofficially, there were, I believe, 1,100 people who signed up for this race. Only 8,900 finished unofficially. That's unofficially. I don't know how many were at the start, but 8,900 finished. Michelle?
Well, I just wanted to add, too, that there were three spectator areas. Those were all around the hat and, you know, the center of the studios. I know that I was waiting for you, Mike, to come. Holly and I were both waiting for you to come off the trail after the Fantasmic Stadium, and just found it very difficult to find you. I don't know how much of that was not a preparation on our part, or it was difficult to find a place to meet people, so I just wanted to add that. Had another question for our racing buddies here. And Holly, I wanted to ask, how do you think this race compares to other Disney races?
On the plus side, I thought the organization at the start was very good. I liked the way they managed the corrals, that you got to your corral earlier. I think there were four corrals, maybe A, B, C, and D. And once you were in the corrals, there were plenty of porta potties, so you didn't have to try and wait to the last minute before you got in a corral, like the marathon weekend.
Oh, that's so important too.
I know.
And they were in the corrals too.
They were in the corral, so you could go at the last minute, and then they walked at each corral up. And it wasn't a humongous walk like in January. I mean, it was still a bit of a walk, but it wasn't like you felt like you were going forever. You did have to wait a bit, you know, the standard. Have to get there early to make sure everybody's in place and then before they send you off. But I thought that was really good. I thought that the characters on the course were lacking. I was a little disappointed that there weren't more character stops, especially once we got in the studios. I really was expecting to see more just from past races. I forgot I had done the Tower of Terror 13K before, and there were a lot more characters. I think there was like Darth Vader and characters from Up. And really, there were no characters once you got into the studio. So it seemed like they just like brought you in, we ran around the hat, and they got us out. It was really quick, I thought, through the studios. There wasn't really a lot of park time. But the post-race part was, like you said, Michelle, was great. I mean, that was definitely better than any other Disney race that I've been to. I had a blast with a bunch of friends. We stayed, and I couldn't believe I was up until like 4:15 in the park still. It just went really fast because I was having so much fun.
Oh, that's neat. And what do you think, Charlie? What about your opinion compared to other Disney races?
I liked it a lot. The crowd level, I thought, was great. You know, they capped it, I think, at 10,000 runners. And it didn't feel crowded. I know, you know, a lot of us have done the Disney probably half and maybe the full down there. And there are certain parts of the course where when you're running, you just feel so cramped. And to be honest, I never felt cramped with the exception of getting into the Wide World of Sports and just getting around that area, which lasted for what, probably about a mile or two. But other than that, I really thought it was a well-managed race. I thought it went pretty smooth. Again, we can't control the heat. But other than that, the only thing I would have probably changed on my end would be to just to get rid of that Wide World of Sports part. Considering that they had us run all the way down to Animal Kingdom, it would have almost been better served to actually have us go into that park and like maybe circle the entire parking lot there, because that's about a mile or two. And then they could have had us go back and probably avoid Wide World, and I think it would have been a smoother run for everybody.
Good points. Mike, what do you think compared to the many other races that you've run?
Well, the field had a lot to do with my comparing this with others. We've run in Disney races, Disneyland, Disney World, where there's been as many as 23,000. So that made a big difference, although it still seemed like there was 23,000. I think that the race organization at the beginning was okay. I thought that they had plenty of as much as we complain about the Powerade, there was plenty to go around. There was bananas, plenty to go around, and water, and that was good. I thought they did a good job of that. I think that one of the things that I can never figure out is how they figure out what to do with the baggage claim. And I think that if they had moved, I think that the finish line probably should have been somewhere else. And I think I agree with Charlie. And I thought about it. If you think about it, Charlie, that gravel road was maybe about 1/4 mile long, and they could have easily tweaked the course to put that somewhere else. And I think, and I talked to Michelle about this the day after the race, and I thought that one of the reasons why they have us going in that way is that I don't know if there's another way that they could have us go in there without going downstairs. Although maybe where we came out, maybe we could have done a back and out kind of a thing. But right. But overall, I think that it was run pretty well compared to other races. There's still room for improvement, though. Michelle, what about you?
I think I'd have to agree with pretty much everything that everybody else said. One of the things I like about this race was the bling. The medal is pretty cool. It is a Tower of Terror with a elevator that goes up and down. It's pretty substantial. So it's one of my favorite race medals. I'd have to say that. I did like the party. Not every race has that after party. It seems like something they do for these nighttime races. I thought it was very well managed. The heat is a big factor, and I know for some of us it will mean that we may or may not run that race again. But I agree with Holly too that there didn't seem to be as many characters. We were running with we were running as a group of three, and we saw some more interesting characters along the race route. I think because it was close to Halloween, there were people dressed up in very interesting costumes, and that was very entertaining to watch. I saw somebody running with a pink flamingo. We saw people, and we'd be incredulous, like, oh my gosh, look at that person dressed up with a wig and a gown and everything like that. But I think it was run very well. There were just that gravel piece was something that I think all of us, everybody we've talked to, would like that part gone. So,
well, continuing this, I think that we've got time for one more question. And keeping along the same line of thought, I'm going to ask Holly this first. Holly, so let's say they approach you and they said, Holly, we've been around for a long time. We would like you to be the race director for the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10-miler for 2013. I want you to give me just two things you would change and why.
Well, I think I would probably steal Charlie's idea. Sorry, Charlie. And I would eliminate the Wide World of Sports section and maybe have you go through Animal Kingdom, a quick in and out, and then come back through studios and do a little bit more in the studios. Because I think that would benefit spectators, too, as far as in the studios. Like Michelle said, the only spectator sections were right around the hat, and I think a little bit on Streets of America. To have more spectators, to run actually maybe down Sunset Boulevard towards the tower and back. That's the way the old Tower of Terror race was, and that was a lot more exciting to be running through the park. So I would change the course. And then I would probably beef up the finish, too. I thought the finish line was a little lackluster. It was really dark there. No characters. You know, usually when you finish a Disney race, you get a high five from Mickey or Goofy or, you know, Stitch, it seems like, was the character of choice. So maybe to have Stitch out there giving some high fives would have added to it.
Charlie?
Well, I'd knock the price down to $10. That would be, no. In all seriousness, I do feel I got decent value for what I paid. And, you know, Holly said she stole my ideas, and she's right. She did. I would definitely change the course. I think when they had us run, like I said earlier, when they had us run all the way down to Animal Kingdom, it just would have made more sense, I think, just to have us go through that entire parking lot. It would have been straight. There would have been a lot of room for runners to get through. It would have been nice and flat for all the beginning types of runners, novice runners. So I think that would have enhanced it. And I also agree with Holly with in regards to the finish. It just seemed dark, and it wasn't that spectacular. And it was a shame, because I think that the part that Holly also mentioned about the spectators was a good one. Outside of the start of the race and the end of the race, there was really no spectator, places for people to be, like from miles 2 through 8.
It was eerily quiet in some places, I think.
Very.
So, you know, it would be nice if somehow they set up the course where even the spectators could be, you know, more a part of all the action that's going on, because they were certainly all at the park for the after party.
There were some spectators at the Wide World of Sports, but there weren't that many. They're in the stands.
Yeah, but other than that, though, I was pretty happy with it, and I would do it again.
Okay, race director Michelle, what would you do?
Oh, I think our two guests had so many great suggestions already. I'm not really sure what I would do differently. Definitely change the route. I agree wholeheartedly. The finish was sort of, you know, it was exciting because we finished and we were really ready to finish, but it was sort of meh, meh, meh. I can't think of anything else aside from maybe I didn't check a bag, which I was really happy because I heard later that it was at Indiana Jones. I think maybe the bag check closer to it. It seemed to me that we walked so long from the end of the race all the way out to where we could meet the crowds that there should be some place along the way that we could pick up our bags so that people wouldn't have to finish and then walk all the way over to the other side of the park. So I think that would be the big thing in addition to what they already said that I would change. Mike, what about you?
Well, you're not leaving me much, so I had to dig deep to figure out what I could say that you haven't said. One of the things that I noticed about this race, more so than any other Disney race I've run, almost any other race I've run, is that there were a lot of undisciplined runners in this race. And by that, I mean people were just not showing the correct runner's protocol. So because of that, I would like to see a age minimum of 18 years or older. I think that's important, because it's at night. There could be a lot of people getting hurt, and you don't want people cutting in front of you. There were a lot of people cutting in front of me or stopping short without raising their hand, you know, when they were doing the Galloway. So that would be one thing. I would make it a requirement of being 18 years or older, because by then I think you're probably somewhat experienced to know what type of proper protocol it is to run the race. And the other thing I would add is that for all that the promotions and the marketing hype was about, I agree with all of you that there was a paucity. That's the best word I could use. There was a paucity of characters and special things on the course. And I think that they could have made it a little bit more interesting than it was. And it's just, it's a shame because that's where the race fell short of expectations. So that's the way I see it. Before we sign off, I wanted to ask Holly and Charlie what their next Disney races were.
Next Disney race is, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Holly.
Okay. My next Disney race is I'm going to do the Dopey in January.
Okay. And that'll be during the day. Charlie.
Yes.
And Holly, for people who don't know what the Dopey is, why don't you say?
Okay. Dopey is an unofficial Disney racing. It's doing the 5K, the Fun Run 5K on Friday, and then you do the half marathon on Saturday, and then the full marathon on Sunday. So it's the combination of the Goofy Challenge and the 5K.
Which makes you dopey.
Yes. Definitely.
Charlie?
I'm going to be doing just the full marathon on the Sunday for marathon weekend.
Just the full marathon.
Yeah, just the full. There's no
just the full.
Just
yeah.
The full.
Okay, well, that's pretty much going to do it for episode 3 of the Mickey Miles podcast. And again, I want to thank our special guests, Holly Allen and Charlie Gessner, for coming on today's show to help us bring to you, our audience, some perspectives on the inaugural Twilight Zone Tower of Terror 10-miler. And remember, the conversation will continue on our Facebook page. So please let us know what you think. If you have any comments about the show, if you have any questions, did you run? What do you think about the race? What would you do to make it better? So don't forget to visit us on Facebook at Mickey Miles Podcast. And you can also follow us on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. And so you can also send us questions at questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com. So for Charlie and Holly and Michelle, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. Our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast, where you can give us your comments and feedback on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying until next time, thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the road.